We greet each one of y'all in Christ's name this morning. I trust that the week of Thanksgiving is not just something you go through and you eat turkey and go on your merry way, but it's a day that we especially set aside. And aren't we like that as human creatures, that if we don't set aside a particular time, sometimes life just kind of goes on. But this kind of brings us to reality again to say we have so much to be thankful for. And that brought me to the title of my message this morning, and that is A Reason to Be Grateful. And I hope by the end of the message this morning that each one of you can look at your own life and not only have one reason, but have many reasons as to why you should be, or why you hopefully are, grateful. Several quotes here before I get started. One is says, people who live the most fulfilling lives are the ones who are always rejoicing at what they have. Another one is that things turn out best for people who make the best for the way things turn out. He is a wise man who does not grieve for the things which he has not, but he rejoices for those things which he has. If you haven't all the things that you want, be grateful for the things that you don't have that you don't want. If you don't have all the things in life that you want, be grateful for the things in life that you don't have that you don't want. Because you don't have to look around real far till you find people that have things in their life that you wouldn't want. So be grateful for that. It is impossible to feel grateful and depressed at the same time. And so when you find yourself feeling, you know, do you feel that? I felt that this week. There was one day it just came on me. It was just like, just this heaviness. And it's like, why? I couldn't find it within me as to why I would have that feeling. But then I realized that as we start expressing our thanks and recognizing our blessings, then we can't help but to be grateful. A reason to be grateful. Each one of you know of people. And I want you to just think in your mind for a little bit here of someone for whom you have a respect for. Maybe a great respect. A high regard for that individual. Think of someone. And I'm not going to ask you to talk, so don't be afraid to think of someone. Think of someone whom you have a high regard for. Now, the question I want to ask then is, why do you have a high regard for that individual that came to your mind? What character qualities do you see portrayed in that individual that you're thinking of? Well, we think of being grateful. Another word for gratefulness, of course, is thankfulness. But someone, and hopefully this person that you were thinking of, probably some of these next words that I'm going to give you, possibly some of these words came to your mind. Because someone who portrays great character qualities has some, or maybe all, of these traits that I'm going to mention here. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. Maybe you have some more you want to add to it. One is humility. Someone who you would respect would be someone who is a humble person. Someone who is a meek person. They're not loud. They're not obnoxious. They're not overbearing. Someone who is a gentle person. Someone who even they're not perfect, but you could go to that person when you see a fault in them, and you could entreat them, or you could lay this down in front of them about this fault that you see in their life, a flaw maybe, or a character quality that could be improved on. And they, with meekness and gentleness, accept that as correction, and maybe even thank you for it. Someone who is kind would be a good character quality. Patience. It's easy to respect someone who is patient, who doesn't try to push their way over top of you. Someone who is peaceful, or just living at peace. Someone who doesn't come to you and try to cause controversy. Someone who doesn't try to come and stir up something that maybe you and him or her disagree on. But they're a peaceful person. All of these things don't come to be just because of things that happened in my life. All of these things that I just mentioned, they don't come into your life just because of happenings that you face, of experiences that you face. But it is a decision that each one of us has to make as life meets us head on. So then I ask the question, well, what is your basis for gratefulness? What is your reason for even wanting to be grateful? And I think there's lots of answers we could give in that, but this morning the main answer would be, is it not to make Jesus known? Because when you're grateful, it's going to show out in all areas of your life. And that is when you become saltier. You become brighter as a light. Even as a light, we have warmth, the warm glow of a light. Diana was just talking about where she's putting up Christmas lights yesterday, and she was like, it just, when you see those little bulbs, it just, there's just something about it. It just makes you, it just relaxes you. And isn't that how it is when you see a warm glow of a light bulb? That's what we're to be as Christians. We're to be that light. Another question, does the lack of bad things happening in my life tend to make me grateful? Does anyone care to answer that one? It's just a simple yes or no answer. The lack of bad things in my life, does that make me grateful? Elvin says no. How many agree with Elvin? The rest of you aren't sure, but I'm... Yeah, the lack of bad things happening in our life has been proven over and over to not create gratefulness in a person. Does comparing myself with others produce gratefulness? No. All that does is it causes discontent, and if it doesn't cause discontent, it can cause pride in my life. Because of how well I've conducted my affairs and how poorly you have managed yours. But the other way is that, wow, I've tried so hard and nothing worked for me, but here you go out and you can just do whatever you want to do and everything just falls into place for you. 2 Corinthians 10:12, in the King James, it says that they that compare themselves, measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So quit it. It's not a wise thing to do. Well, this morning, I don't have this text up on the board. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, but here in Philippians 4, there's just a couple verses I just want to briefly mention before we go into Philippians 1 then. But Philippians 4, verse 11 says, I am not saying that, well, let's read verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And those of you who have memorized that verse, you have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. This is Paul talking. And who but Paul can teach us how to be content because of all the bad things that he was going through. And even in Philippians here, as he was writing this letter, he was in chains. He was bound up, literally. But he has learned to be content and even grateful and even looking out for the good of others while he was there in stocks. How many times have you found yourself being able to do that? But that when bad things happen in your life, in my life, I tend to focus inward. And I sure hope that you're going to come notice how bad things are going and that you can express a little bit of pity for me. Rather than me going ahead and saying, yeah, this is where I'm at right now, but I'm going to continue to reach out. That's what the Apostle Paul did, and that's one of the many things that we can learn from him. Verse 12 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Verse 13 then is his key. It says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And that him is Jesus Christ. A long time ago in an ancient land, there lived a certain stonecutter. Other men looked upon him as being pretty well fixed in life. He was skilled at his trade and his work, and it was admired by everyone. Furthermore, he always had plenty of work, for he lived in a land where the death rate was about one per person. So someone was always dying and requiring a gravestone to be carved. Some of y'all will catch that after a bit. Then again, every so often, someone would do something really outstanding and memorial, and he would be commissioned to carve a stone monument to commemorate it. But the stone cutter was plagued with discontent. He made all these memorials for everyone else, but he himself never had any recognition. He never had any power or fame. This robbed him. This worked on his mind as time went on, robbing him of joy and peace of mind. Then it came to pass one day in the spring of the year, as he worked in his shop, he began to hear sounds of great commotion down at the village. Lo, the king of the country was on a tour of his realm, and he was visiting the stonecutter's village that day. What a resplendent entourage he had. The king was mounted on a great white charger and decked out in expensive and intricately embroidered robes. He was attended by an army of courtiers and servants who were ready to jump at his slightest command. The odd stonecutter stood there, his mouth agape. Ah, oh, he said, what power and recognition the king has. I wish I could swap places with him. Then I would know what it'd be like for once and all to be the most powerful one instead of just a nobody. Well, the Lord had gotten very weary with hearing the stonecutter whine all the time. So, all of a sudden, whoosh, bang, the king was the stonecutter, and the stonecutter was king. Well, at first, the stonecutter slash king had a very great time. He enjoyed exercising his new power and ordering folks around, but as spring wore on into summer and drought visited the land, the heat became very oppressive and the crops withered and they died in the fields. The citizens appealed to the king over and over to do something to grant them relief from the disaster, but he was powerless to do anything for them. Day by day, the bright scorching sun shone down relentlessly from the sky. Ah, said the stonecutter made king, I perceive that the sun is more powerful than me. I wish I could swap places with the sun. The Lord saw that the stonecutter had not yet learned his lesson. So, whoosh, bang, done. Now the stonecutter slash sun was reveling in his new power, and he really made it hot for the poor people on earth. Springs that had never failed and rivers that had always run strong began to dry up. People and animals found it harder and harder to sustain life. Still, the stonecutter slash sun insisted on showing his power. Then one day, a little cloud drifted across the face of the bright blue sky and stopped right in front of the sun, blocking his relentless rays from the blistering earth. People and animals all breathed a sigh of relief and looked up with thankfulness at the welcome cloud. What? Exclaimed the stonecutter sun. a cloud can render ineffective the power of the sun? Well, then a cloud is more powerful than the sun. Oh, how I wish I were that cloud. Well, you know what came next. Well, now the discontented stonecutter is a cloud. Well, as he was never one to pursue a new career by half measure, the cloud began to stretch and elongate himself, and soon he took on an ominous dark color, and he began to pour down rain upon the earth. Oh, the thirsty ground gulped down the welcoming, refreshing rain. The people rejoiced and gave thanks that the long, dry spell was at last over. But the power-mad stonecutter, who was now a cloud, kept the rain coming in an ever-increasingly deluge until the people on earth were fearfully fleeing for higher ground as rivers ran wildly out of their banks and buildings were washed away and the city streets were flooded. Now I have real power, the stonecutter cloud enthused. But then he noticed an object down on earth that was totally unaffected by his deluge. What do you think it was? It was a big stone. It stood there totally impervious to the storm. Alas, the stonecutter said, that stone has more power than I do. I wish... Whoosh, bang. Now the stonecutter was a stone. Ah, he said, this is not a very exciting life, but now I know that I am enjoying real power. A stone has to be the most powerful thing in the world. Just then, a man came along who was whistling a happy tune and toting his little leather bag full of tools. He took out a hammer and a chisel and promptly went to work on the stone, shaping it into a monument that he had been commissioned to make. Alas, wailed the stonecutter turned stone, and I'll see that when I had true power, I did not appreciate it. Any of y'all ever been a stonecutter? In Hebrews 13, it tells us that we are to see, verse 5 says, to keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And in verse 15, in that same chapter in Hebrews, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Be content where you are. Be content with what God has made you to be, but continue to work relentlessly for Him. Let's look in Philippians 1 and just read several verses there this morning. Again, this is Paul, and he's speaking while he's in prison. Verse 1, or Philippians 1, verse 3 is where we're starting. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on till completion until the day of Jesus Christ. This is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Let's just pull back to verse 3. Paul is saying here that, again, remember, he's in prison. And here he is saying, I thank God every time I remember you. And he goes right on in verse 4 and says, I always pray with joy. Can that be my story? Can that be your story as you think of your brothers and your sisters, that you always pray for them with joy? And I would believe that this church at Philippi was probably not a real established church. It was not some real veteran Christians, as it were, but these are all new believers. But Paul had great joy for them. And he talks about in verse 5 of their partnership with the gospel. Knows that they accepted Jesus Christ, they took on Christ, and everything that they wanted to do from then on, they want to honor, they want to glorify Jesus Christ. Did they do it all correctly? I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they made many, many mistakes. But in verse 6, he says, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want you to think of that word, he who began will carry it on. He who began will carry it on. And how many times have I tried to be that one who is that he that he's talking about here in that sense? That I want to come to you and I want you to do a certain way. I want you to live your life a certain way in order that you carry on until your work on earth is completed, living for Jesus Christ. But each one of us, we do need to encourage. We all need to urge each other on. But here it says that Paul was confident that he who began a good work, and that was that Jesus Christ was that he that he's talking about. That Jesus began that good work, and that same Jesus that began that good work in this these different people, that same Jesus was also going to be able to carry them on. It wasn't going to be Paul that was going to be able to continue to make them live their lives for Jesus Christ. But it was that Jesus Christ, the same one who saved them, was also able to keep them and to help them to continue to grow. It's not what I can do for you, brothers and sisters, but it's what Christ, living within you, can do. And like I say, we all need to encourage each other. We all need to be concerned with each other's business, as it were. Not that we're busybodies, not that we're meddlers, but that we know what's going on in each other's lives. And I think so many times I fail in that. To know what it is you're really going through. Well, Paul goes on in verse 7, he says, it's right for me to feel this way since I have you in my heart. He had a deep love for these people. And he says, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm out preaching, defending the gospel, this is the way I feel. I have this great love for you. Because these were his sons and daughters, as it were. These are ones that he was able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And it says in verse 8 that God can testify how I long for all of you. And going down to verse 9, he said, this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And as I thought of that verse, that Paul's desire was that they would love each other and they would love the Lord Jesus in a deeper and greater way as time went on, as each day went by. But it says that your love would abound more and more in your knowledge. And he says it in Peter about how our love and how our knowledge has so much to do with how we can love. So if we love a lot, it's because we have a lot of love, or a lot of knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And the great love that he exemplified by dying on the cross, by living on this earth, dying and rising again. We can know that his love was totally freely given to us. It was nothing that we deserved. But how many times do I hold my love back from you? How many times do you hold your love back from someone else because for some reason that you feel that they don't deserve it? Who am I to say who deserves to be loved and who deserves to be rejected of my love? But our knowledge of Jesus Christ is what will increase the depth of our love. And I think there's not a one of us in here that would say that that's not what we want. We all want to know how to love in a greater way. Have this depth of knowledge or this depth of love, but it only comes as we apply ourselves to God's Word and the knowledge that we can gain from that. And in verse 11, It says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise and the glory of God. What is it that we're grateful for? What is the reason that we're grateful? What is our purpose for being grateful? It's for the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's our ultimate goal. And Jesus, His desire for our life is that we exemplify and we show that love to others the same way, an unselfish way, as what He did when He set the example for us when He came on this earth. Well, let's look in Philippians 1 again and continue on down here. We're going to drop down to verse 15 through 18. Verse 15 says, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice." Again, can you imagine Paul being in prison, being in stocks, being in bonds, having his arms chained, maybe his feet chained? And put yourself in his shoes. And he says that there's some people out there who, they're preaching the gospel, but they're doing it out of wrong motives in order to cause more problems for him. But Paul says, that's fine. I don't care. Just as long as Jesus is preached. But how many times have I failed in that area when someone comes against me? And it might be that even God allowed that to happen, but I respond wrongly. Paul says in verse 18, the important thing is that Christ is preached. And he says, and because of that, I'm going to rejoice. And he says, because of that, I'm going to continue to rejoice. How willing are you this morning to take abuse, to take misunderstandings for the cause of Christ? How willing are you this morning to leave your feelings aside? And I know that's a hard thing to do. It's not easy to try to separate ourselves from our feelings, because people hurt us and it hurts deep. And every one of us has reasons that we could say we're going to withdraw, we're going to pull back because of pain that someone has caused me. There's not a one of us here this morning that I don't think has been affected by that. But yet, Paul would have had all the more reason. But yet he put himself aside, and even while he was in prison, even in chains, he says, all I care is that Christ is preached. All I care is that the news of the gospel gets out. Well, what are some of the things that you're grateful for this morning? What are some of the blessings that you have experienced? What are some of the, and so often we think of blessings as being material things, something that we can hold on to. You know, we all would think, boy, it'd be just nice if I'd have just a little bit more money, if I'd have just a little nicer car, if I'd have just a little nicer house. We all think that. But what about the non-material things? What about God's plan to make you right with Him through salvation? What about the way He set up us as a church? He set up the church and in us as a body here, where we can get together, where we can learn, where we can fellowship one with another. What about His Holy Spirit that He placed within us when we got saved? That we are now free to not sin. We've been freed from sin, but we're not free from sin, but we're free not to sin. And the only way you can be free not to sin is through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, you don't have the power. You don't have the strength. Satan and his grip is too strong. But we know that through Jesus Christ and the power that He gives us through the Holy Spirit, we can be free to not sin? What about the many times that he's delivered you from spiritual dangers, temptation, distress, and discouragement? What about the times he's delivered you from bodily harm? What about all the close calls that you've survived? What about the sicknesses that you've recovered from? What about the gift and the privilege of prayer and the wonder of that communion, that fellowship with Christ? And last but not least, what about that place that he's preparing for you? Have you thought about that? That place that is beyond comprehension called heaven. And as time goes on, we face experiences and we face losses, and they hurt. But yet, as we go through losses of loved ones, it makes heaven just that much sweeter, doesn't it? Again, I reference back to Hebrews 13. In the first verse there, it says, keep on loving as brothers. When we recognize who we are in Christ, what He has saved us from, and where He is taking us to, and that our works, our good works, are not going to get us there, but simply through accepting His salvation by grace through faith, He makes us one of His. And then because of that, we want to serve Him. We want to do those acts of righteousness. Verse 16 there in Hebrews, it says, well, I thought it was interesting, in 13, the first verse, it says to keep on loving as brothers, and then drops down to verse 16 after he told us all these things about how we're to continue to offer to God sacrifice of praise, how we're to keep our lives free from money, and so on and so on. And then verse 16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep recognizing who we are on this earth, and that we are just human flesh and blood. But as we go through life, things come at us. Discouragements hit us. But we need to go back and recognize who it is that we're serving. We need to go back and recognize and even thank Him and to speak out those blessings that He has given us, even in spite of difficulties that we face at a certain time in a given situation. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Colossians 4, 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And there's many more verses that we could read, and I'm not going to do that this morning, that talk about being thankful, about being grateful. So there's a reason why Scripture tells us that we are to be thankful. It's because I think we forget. We have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to just focus on ourselves and to think about how hard life is just for me without looking out away from ourselves and seeing the needs of others, as Paul did, even while he was in chains and even while he was in prison. So this next week, can I go out and do what I do best and to be content and to be thankful, even in those things that I do that might be considered mundane to me? And then what would be something this next week that you could do, sacrificing yourself for someone else? How willing would you be to do that? Even maybe to do it anonymously, with no thought of return or someone even knowing it. But when we come away from ourselves and we take our minds off of ourselves and our problems and focus on meeting needs of those around us, that has a way of us stopping and saying, you know what? Truly, God has blessed us. Truly, God has been so good to me. Because we don't have to look real far till we see there's many people around us that are hurting. There's many people around us that are facing problems that are much bigger than what I have. So this morning, what are your reasons to be grateful? And number one is that Jesus Christ lives and reigns within each one of us by His Holy Spirit. And with that, He gives us the power and the strength to face each day, no matter what comes. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we thank You for the many, many blessings that You have given us. Lord, I pray that each one of us here this morning, as we leave from here, we would be more mindful of the many things, the many blessings that You have given us. Lord, so many times we are so ungrateful. Lord, so many times we don't see the many blessings that You give us because we choose to focus on ourselves. But Lord, I pray that You would help us, each one. Would You encourage our hearts as we go from here to be sold out for You, to look around and to see where we can meet needs of other people and encourage other people in their walk. Bless us as we leave from here. Keep us in Your care, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.